Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And it is now or never. And the time is not being kind. It is not going to just stand still. It's not going to go and take a break. Time is ticking. As a matter of fact, probably the best metaphor is the old hourglass, or, you know, the sand falling in a time glass. So what we need to do is we need to start figuring out what we're going to do. And I can't do it for you. I can't put your county on the map. I can't put your state on the map. You have to do that. And as I've been talking, you know, I don't know if it is an indictment or if it's, you know, just a good sign, a healthy sign, that people aren't necessarily looking to become Thomas Jeffersons and James Madisons. I know that those are, you know, it's a lot of weight to carry on one shoulder when you, you know, take that stand. I don't know. I mean, I see people that are in, you know, public service, legislators, what have you, and, you know, they're good people. And they're, you know, they're apprehensive to take that point and to, make this position a Thomas Jeffersonian type of position. And I don't understand. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one that, you know, feels like, you know, things are, you know, boiling to a head. And when I talk to other people that I'm working with, I mean, everybody agrees with me. So what am I missing? What is it that is giving people this apprehension in standing in the face of evil and, you know, calling it out and doing the right thing? I don't understand. I would presume that, because there's no doubt in my mind, you know, I understand that this is not an entertaining show. And I understand that there are people that, you know, want to hear, you know, clever wit regarding, you know, Biden. And you know, because I look at what makes it around as viral. When I listen to these popular entertainers, I'm going, yeah, I don't get it. You know, doesn't anybody care about what is it going to take to actually take our, you know, take our government back? And I know what I cover here. I know that I am offering, you know, academic proof, and we're supporting all of this. I don't understand, you know, what's all happening, but we're in a position now where I've told you we're going to be doing a national call, and it looks like it's either going to be maybe the 22nd or the 29th. It all depends on how soon, if I get word that the training can be done within a week or so, then we'll probably go on the 22nd, but if not, we'll probably go the 29th. And that ends all the legislative sessions, and, you know, as we move forward, this will become old hat and habit for, you know, many people. But, and there are, folks, don't get me wrong, there are a lot of people that are actually, you know, getting invigorated and active, but not nearly to the level that I would expect. Now, I know quite a few people, and I'm not going to, you know, just focus on one, but I know quite a few people who have actually gone out and, you know, stood in Republican Party meetings as I've suggested. you know, and it takes a few times to get there and let people start figuring out who you are and become kind of comfortable with the fact of, you know, you're there because you're different. You know, they haven't seen you before. And so when you, they become a little more comfortable, they start talking to you. And this is a great way to find like-minded friends and like-minded people. I do realize that, you know, the constitutional conservative is not necessarily, you know, the domineering attitude with most people in these Republican Party meetings, especially when you're living in a blue county or a blue-leaning county. And so, I mean, if you have blue county commissioners, then you're in a blue-leaning county just due to the fact that, you know, the people are electing those types of moderates. But I look at moderates in Wyoming, and moderates are Democrats. Moderates, you know, those people who claim, oh, I'm conservative, but they've got no evidence of that. It's kind of reminds me of Trump when he ran for office in 2016, and he put it out there that, you know, he was a New York progressive. You know, he was, you know, that's, he thought like New Yorkers, you know, abortion was okay. And, you know, he was proud of that. But more importantly, he had no credentials whatsoever of really doing anything other than what was good for his business. That was it. And so I don't understand why, you know, other than the fact that he created this mantra, build a wall. Well, you know, how about enforcing the entire Constitution? Why is it that, you know, oh, well, they only want to commit to one thing so that, you know, oh, like they're going to fix all the problems. Anyway, so I am absolutely honored that there are those of you who are actually standing up and actually getting out there and taking action. What I'm praying for, and I guess, you know, I need to just kind of have a standard request for your prayers, that more people come to the knowledge of what they need to do, that it's no longer time to be entertained, folks. It's time to take a stand. It's no longer, you know, okay to allow evil to run ruckshaw. As a matter of fact, I was corrected a while ago in a conversation. It's not rickshaw, it's ruckshaw. But anyway, they're, you know, riding ruckshaw over us, and they're putting us in such a vulnerable position, you know, going into a cashless society. I don't know what else to say or do other than the fact that all the warning signs are there. Everything is boiling to a point. And so either we do something about it, and again, it requires you, and it requires you to get other people. It's when we go through these documents, I think it becomes irrefutable, you know, what the Constitution really means. And I believe it's just irrefutable to, you know, to lay out what has to be done, how it has to be done at the county, and how we have to wake up the masses to take back your county. You know, these people that are out there telling you that you need a constitutional sheriff, that means nothing. The sheriff is, I mean, that is not any level of protection. Because I can tell you, when a sheriff all of a sudden starts getting squeezed politically, they're going to start singing a different tune. Yeah, you know, it's easy to get out there and you know, puff up your chest and walk around like, yeah, you're the big dog. But when all of a sudden, you know, the hounds of Baskerville come in and, you know, start, you know, circling around you, I guarantee you that sheriff will change his tune. You need legislators in your county to actually do what needs to be done so that, one, they can fund the sheriff to do what needs to be done and direct the sheriff. I mean, you need a team. You need your entire county to flip to becoming constitutional. And the best way to do that is by using petitions. And so this is kind of why we're kind of getting everything ready. But what we want to do, and as a matter of fact, I'm really hoping before we have this meeting, I'm hoping that out of Virginia, we've got this medical freedom petition coming in. And I don't think the author of this petition understands, but what they're doing is they now have a template that they can take, because they're laying out the argument regarding, you know, the Department of Transportation being unconstitutional because of the three acts with Madison, Monroe, and Jackson, and how they, you know, Congress tried to assume this power, and we had three presidents that vetoed these attempts, clearly telling Congress that that power doesn't exist. So this argument that is being laid out that actually refutes any concept of federal government's involvement in anything, health, life, anything like that, disease, it just doesn't exist. And so they can't assume that power. Well, that one petition will actually be the petition that will be the template to going after everything else. We'll be right back after this.
Business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Well, you know, I tend to bleed in, and you know what? I'm not even going to apologize on that one, because what I'm trying to tell you is really, really important. Because this one petition that's challenging, you know, and asserting the demand for medical freedom, there, it's, you know, it needs some massaging the last time I looked at it. And I think, you know, the guidance was pretty clear what needed to be done. And I this is not rocket science. But this template will go after the education system. This template will go after energy. This template will go after labor. This template will go after the Environmental Protection Agency. In other words, this one petition will be able to be redone in all of these different fashions of going after all these different roles, responsibilities, powers, and property that the federal government does not possess. In other words, this one petition can quickly transform into 20 petitions in challenging the unconstitutionality of the federal government's involvement in this particular role, responsibility, power, or property. And I'm tens, if not maybe 100, because look at all of the things that they're doing that they have no authority to do. And so I'm so thankful that I don't want to mention his name without having the permission. So I'm so thankful that this gentleman in Virginia is doing this, that he's taking on such a, paving the way in the snow. I mean, one of the things I used to kind of help people understand when it comes to processes, when it comes to doing something for the first time, what you do is you forge a path from point A to point B. And the better path you create when you do it, and if you do it right, you know, it's like when somebody walks out of their cabin in the snow and they, you know, need to get somewhere, but, you know, they end up meandering. And if you're looking overhead, you know, you go, well, you know, here's point A, and this is really where they're going, they end up. And, you know, why didn't they walk a straight line? Well, you know, from a bird's eye view, you may not see that there's a ravine and or the terrain and the obstacles and those types of things may not actually stand out. And so, you know, you want to cut a path that is the most, you know, precise, the most direct path possible. And so if you do it right the first time, then it makes it easier for people to get back and forth. I mean, in the old days when we didn't have highways or what have you, and people would, you know, make a cabin and they'd settle. And next thing you know, they would, you know, based on how they rode their horse, they would go down the same path. And eventually that would turn into a little drive or, you know, or where you're carrying a wagon through there. So it widens and clears a little more and, you know, less brush grows on it. And all of a sudden it becomes a permanent edged clearing because there's this constant traffic that other people use that trail to get to your house. And so when you forge this path for the first time, especially if it is something that is a universal problem, all of these usurpations of roles, responsibilities, and powers, all of these problems that they've caused, this is a universal template that makes the same argument, and the argument cannot be broken. And it's a beautiful thing. And what I'm trying to do, folks, is I'm trying to create the repository for you so that when you start dropping petitions into your county commissioners, you have the ability. So why your county commissioners? Because we have a Republican form of government. Your county supervisors or commissioners are the closest representatives of politics in our political structure to you. You should not have to get in your car. I mean, we've gotten to a point where we're way too busy to be able to have to get to the state capitol and to take a whole day or two out of our lives just to try to have a meeting with our state legislator. And if your county commissioners say, well, why us? Because when they walk through the halls, it's their job, first off. They get paid to have this interface with those state legislators. It's a part of their salary and compensation. More importantly, it's a part of their oath to support the Constitution. And in addition to this, when they walk down the hallways of that capital of your state, they're far more recognized as a person that they would listen to than the average Joe. So you have to convince them to become the advocates for these petitions. And if they're not willing, like in Campbell County, then those bums need to be voted out in the next election. Everyone who is up for re-election should be identified and targeted now. And that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing in Campbell County. Now, they haven't built the movement yet because they're, you know, it takes time to get in there. And when people actually witness and they listen to these petitions and say, look, the federal government is having the states do this thing regarding labor, this thing regarding our medical freedom. They have no business doing this. And when they listen and hear the argument. And so one of the things that I think is happening out of Campbell County is I don't think that they're allowing these folks the ability to read the entire petition. And so if these guys are just handing over the petition, then they're making a mistake. They need to read the entirety. What we need is we need these county commissioners to cut them off and say, we don't have to listen to this. And that right there is the tyranny that we need to prove. We need everybody in that room to see these public servants tell, you know, the voters of that county that they don't have to listen to their First Amendment rights of petition, that they're above that. Take that and go, you go down to the state capitol and give that to your state legislators. So when we look at these expectations that we put in the now therefores, at the very ends of these petitions, we have to make sure that we allocate the appropriate amount of time, because if the legislators aren't in session, they're not going to actually be able to interface with them quickly. So we have to give them time to actually do effectively what they need to be doing. And it's unreasonable to give it to them and say, okay, you know, stop doing everything. And what all they need to do is they need to create resolution petitions, basically taking your petition and a resolution, you know, that they all vote on, and they hand that resolution to the one person that will go and travel and deliver this message to all of the different state legislators. Now, you can go to the state capitol. The state capitol is open, you know, all year, and you should be able to go in and find, you know, whoever's, you know, manning the floor, and you can actually provide formal notification to every state legislator, because whoever those assistants are, whoever those people are that kind of maintain and keep those office doors, you know, kind of open, because bottom line, your legislators are doing committees and they're having meetings throughout the year. And so they still have the ability to get down there and, you know, promulgate, disseminate, hand out these petitions to everybody to make sure that everybody understands that your county is standing up on the Constitution. Understanding that this is not rocket science. This is really just basically crap rolling downhill. And most people think we're pushing the crap uphill, but no, it doesn't work that way, folks. Where the people reside is where the political fountain of power exists. I mean, Madison clearly stated that the people were the fountain of power in politics in America. And so as we actually get out into your county commissioners and your county supervisors and you start delivering these things, either they get with the program, which that, to me, folks, I'd much rather have your county commissioners get on board and become champions, because then we don't have to wait for the election process. You know, if they're milquetoast, they just kind of, you know, they're not hot or cold, but they're doing what you tell them to do. That may be better, but if it's still not enough because they're just not pursuing the issue, then you need to start calling them out. And the whole point in these therefore actions, these expectations that you lay into these petitions, these expectations will allow you to hold them more accountable, and it'll be more visible to say, did you do this? Did you do that? You know, we asked you five things to do, these very specific five things. Did you do them all? And if they say, well, no, then you come right back and say, well, then why not? Why are you refusing to do what we're telling you to do? Are you claiming that this stuff is unreasonable, that you don't have a responsibility to do these things? So I don't want to necessarily bleed into it, but it was really important when we broke into the last one, why all of this is important, so that you understand the magnitude of this one petition. There are other petitions that will be coming out that will be very similar, because they have, like these property petitions. We'll be right back after this.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I was hoping to cover more of the property, but going into, and since I started talking about expectations, I think it's paramount, of the utmost importance, that we start understanding expectations. You cannot create expectations amongst the people to believe that this one issue will fix the problem. They have to understand that the magnitude of the problem is not just them doing one thing. The magnitude of the problem is to get them engaged and committed to forcing full compliance. The end game, the end results is full compliance. If you don't understand what you're supposed to be doing while you're in office when it comes to compliance of the Constitution and what government has the authority to do and what it doesn't have the authority to do, and who is responsible for holding government at the next level below you accountable. And when I say below you, at the highest level is the county structure. The next level down is the state. And the next level down from that is the federal government. And there is no level down from that, because the federal government, or our general government, is our world government. You have to look at it that way, because I'm telling you, the good Lord knew what we would need as far as providing a political system that would be capable of delivering and providing liberty and a political means for people to live in a life of liberty. In other words, when Wilson came up with the League of Nations, you know, he was actually trying to undermine God's plan because he was an evil man. It's the same thing with FDR. You know, when you look at what Wilson had done in his life, because I've heard, you know, some people look at, you know, some of his late life, you know, wow, what have I done type of thing. But you know what? This man did a lot of really evil things. While he was the governor of New Jersey, he was the one that instituted sterilization for people who had mental incapacitations, or, you know, like, you know, mentally undeveloped people. And so I, you know, I don't want to use the senseless and the mean things in terms that we used to call these types of people that had these handicaps. But sterilization was just one of the many things. I mean, he was on board with this eugenics concept. And as a matter of fact, he knew Margaret Sanger. And I believe the Negro Project that was picked up by FDR, FDR just took it and ran with it even further. Some of the things that were being done in America, you know, our grandparents and our parents of the greatest generation and that generation before, you know, they should be ashamed. I remember when my father was passing and, you know, he was dying of cancer. We had a good time to talk and he was very integral in my first book because he wanted me to cover a lot of different topics. And I had no plan in writing that very first chapter, that very first book of those, the four books that that first book became. And because he wanted me to dive into this thing, and he says, you got to cover the concepts of liberty and, you know, the civil war that we've been fighting ever since Adam and Eve, of slavery and or liberty, and how, you know, there's just been these different spins and turns. And so anyway, I, you know, he passed before I could really, and I, you know, I accepted the challenge and I just hope that I did a good job in, you know, in kind of portraying this stuff. But bottom line, when, you know, when the framers were creating this new form of government, they had no clue what they were really creating. And here's what happens when you help everybody understand. I mean, have you ever seen, you know, something that came to market, some product that came to market that had some really advanced features to it, but the people that owned it didn't understand it, like a computer, and had all of these capabilities of doing something, and they just, you know, they'd never learned to use it to its full potential. And so, you know, you find these trinkets or these things that were cast out, they just ended up throwing them away because the one thing that they used them for stopped working, and so they just never used the other things, right? And it's like, you go in and you look, you go, wow, some of this stuff, some of these functions still actually function. It's like the people never even used it. It's like they didn't know it was there. That is our Constitution, because we haven't been taught the nuances and the details within the Constitution. I'm not talking about the Bill of Rights or the amendments. I'm talking about Article 1 to Article 7. And what each of those articles really mean and why Article 7 is so doggone important. Because it helps you understand exactly what that Constitution is. It helps set the groundwork of understanding this compact that the only parties to this compact, that the only parties to the compact are the states. Yeah, there's this association with we the people, But that association is really linked down at the county level. Because as we looked at all the new states joining the union, and, you know, until we actually start really looking at it, and until we start teaching people these concepts of parties to a compact, that it is the counties that are the parties to that state compact. And that we, the people, is, I was actually on a phone call with Bob Schultz this past week. It was on Friday, and it was great talking to him. And actually, he's creating an organization. So if you want help, if you want, you know, an organization to lean on and establish, you know, the We the People Foundation in your county, you can do that. I am not one that says we need outside organizations in your county. I'm not one that's going to say that's what you got to do. But if it helps, if it's what helps you, then, you know, if it's the party, if it is using a party apparatus, whatever it is to help you, I don't care. We just need to get the First Amendment petitions moving into your county. And you need to actually start waking people up, because there's nothing better than educating the people on all of the nuances and issues. I mean, if every petition that I talk about, you know, if we go through the color-coded Constitution and we create the petitions necessary to identify what's wrong with the Constitution and what's being violated and what has to be done to fix those things, then everybody, if they actually go through these petitions, they will start learning and understanding the Constitution. And what better, you know, having constitutional literacy is what shines the light on everybody understanding how our property is being stolen from us, because government has these very finite constraints placed upon them. These are the only things that they can do. And it's a beautiful thing. And placing context, as a matter of fact, the way the framers place context to this compact as a power of attorney, I mean, how brilliant is that? And how come that's never been taught? And as a matter of fact, I found Madison refer to that, you know, as well as others like Iredell referred to it as a power of attorney. And I'm going, wow, you know, that right there, when I've done personal, you know, appearances and speaking events, you know, when I help people understand that the Constitution is just like a power of attorney, you know, if people start, you know, giving you that look like their eyes kind of cross and, you know, come to, you know, to a focus, you know, a little bit above their eyebrows, they're kind of looking up going, huh, interesting. And as I start explaining the difference between a general power of attorney and a specified power of attorney or a limited power of attorney, then all of a sudden they get it. It's like, wow. Because I point out that there are no general powers within that compact. None. And yet the federal government has granted themselves all kinds of power. So, you know, what I wanted to do was I wanted to get into property. So we'll finish up, or we'll do more on the property, because the property petitions and understanding our property, our personal property rights, and basically refocusing on, you know, our property rights and restoring property rights underneath the Constitution is going to be critical. And there's going to be lots of different petitions, but what I wanted to do, and I kind of tripped into this, is this concept of property rights, not property rights, but this one petition, and how this one petition coming out of Virginia will be basically a bottom template that will actually help everybody understand what needs to happen so that we can all actually dive down into this, I'll just say, this beautiful thing that we call a compact, enforcing full compliance to the compact. So we'll be right back after this.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so when we start setting expectations, I want to get back to that before I move into the property. We want to make sure that people, you know, because people lose interest if all of a sudden they think that this is what's going to happen and it doesn't happen. Like there are a lot of people, as a matter of fact, when we really look at, you know, some of the people I'm working with, I mean, they come to the table with this myopic focus. Medical freedom, not saying that that's the case here, or the Second Amendment, and or maybe abortion, or what have you. There are people that, you know, all of a sudden they hear about this idea of using First Amendment petitions, and they really want to fix this one problem that they're very, very passionate about, like the Second Amendment. And so, you know, when they go and they do this petition, then they want to run that entire petition to ground. In other words, you know, and this Campbell County is a good example, because these guys created a petition that was very focused on Wyoming. It wasn't something that we could use that one petition. It's called like the National Security Petition or whatever. And it was really focused on two very specific legislative bills that were recently passed that they were unconstitutional. They needed to be overturned. So in other words, this one petition is only good for counties within Wyoming. And it's very focused on this one very thing. And so as these guys dove into this petition and they, you know, gave it to their county commissioners, then they said, okay, you know, they're stonewalling us. They're not doing anything. So they want to actually take this petition through the full process of going to court and everything else. And I'm going, you know, there's a lot of other petitions. You've got to actually go after these other petitions. And it took a while. I mean, this petition was done in January, and they've been fighting and fighting to get them to engage in this one petition, when what they should have been doing was giving them the next petition and literally reading through these things. So
you know, we're learning in what is the best way to do this. And I'm going to tell you, don't get caught up on the merits of a single petition. I mean, I really love the petition that would remove Biden by using the 12th Amendment. I love that. Who wouldn't want to see the President of the United States removed and actually go after every person in Congress? See, what should have happened, folks, and what should happen now is every person that is in Congress today, the Senate and the House of Representatives, who on January 6, 2021, voted to seat President Biden, or, you know, dolt Biden, because he's really not constitutionally chosen. And instead, what they should have done was they should have invoked the 12th Amendment and taken the House into chambers. Well, every person that voted to accept the Electoral College and this unconstitutional outcome, every single one of them should be removed from office and they should be banned for life. Every single one of them directly violated the Constitution. They committed moral perjury and they have no business being in office. And so, I mean, it would be a huge wholesale cleaning, right? Now, what would end up happening would be there'd be a lot of governors that would all of a sudden reach on down into their bench, you know, and what that would mean is, wow, we've got, you know, both conservatives, or I should say Republicans and Democrats that would be replaced. And the majority of them would be Democrats. But, you know, Liz Cheney would be identified and she would never, ever be able to become a public servant again. And all of the rest of these folks that supported this, and Pence would be another one, because Pence was actively engaged on January 6th as the president pro tem of the Senate at the time. And he would be removed and never able to be a public servant in America ever again. So I love that one petition. And as a matter of fact, this one petition points to the lawsuit that Bob Schultz has in front of the Supreme Court. This one petition demands that, you know, your state attorney general adjoin to the case to force this, as well as make the appeal to your congressman to actually do what they should have done. They don't need the court to tell them that Congress violated the Constitution on January 6th. You know, I know there's people hearing me or listening, you know, for the first time, and there's those people who are out there drinking the Kool-Aid that, you know, either they're deniers or they're still, you know, like pro-Trump, you know, like all of the conservative entertainers out there. Oh, well, but they should never have gone in there. And, you know, we know it was rigged and, you know, we've got all of this evidence. It's not about the rigged election. It is about violating the Constitution in choosing our electors. And so this argument is a unique argument, and a lot of people just don't get their heads wrapped around understanding the Electoral College. But here's the one thing. If you really read this one petition, it shows you how our Electoral College process is violating the Constitution itself. Because we are to choose our electors. And when you, I know it doesn't get into all of the details to help people have a true epiphany, but it actually lays the groundwork that if anybody reads Article 1, or actually Article 2, Section 1, and the 12th Amendment, they will realize that we, the people, are the ones that are supposed to be choosing our president, or are the electors that would choose the president, not the party. But the party has completely obscured everything. Anyway, so as we were kind of going into break, I really don't care how you organize. If there's an organization out there that is, you know, good, that's going to, you know, create this thing, you know, to help you get organized, then great. use the organization, use the party, use, you know, in Wyoming, it could be the Republican Party. That it is definitely the Constitution Party in Wyoming that's standing up and doing this. And the Republican Party is supporting Republic Review. They're supporting these bills. There's no reason why. This is why I told those folks that are the Constitution Party, they really need to have a separate entity, a separate, not party-affiliated organization. That's why they're kind of going and creating the Wyoming Constitutionalists. It could be the We the People Foundation. I don't really care. As I tell you, I don't... What you want to call your county, if you call your county the Committees of Safety for, you know, Carbon County, Wyoming, then okay, that's what you want to do. I would highly advise against that, and you know exactly why, because there are direct connotations to Committees of Safety being shadow governments. There's enough information right now, folks, regarding the Oath Keepers that... You know, anybody that's involved in the Oath Keepers right now, the way the news media is label lynching Oath Keepers, and this is really scary, they're actually creating a very negative connotation towards Oath Keepers. Well, that's because they're viewed as the enemy. Now, the Oath Keepers, there's really nothing wrong with that, but the way they're vilifying them makes it seem like, you know, they're trying to convince everybody that these guys are insurrectionists. Now, when you look at Committees of Safety and you look at their history of how they organized themselves like a government, you know, to take over or to actually, you know, put aside the existing government. And not even looking at all of the context of what Committees of Safety are trying to really do or what have you, it doesn't matter. All they have to do is be able to get their hooks into, you know, showing you the history of what Committees of Safety were and how they were being used to overthrow our current government. And then they'd say, well, this is a shadow government. These people that are doing this are insurrectionists. So why give the media and why give the enemy the ability to position themselves against you? There is nothing wrong with, you know, it's kind of like, are you Christian? If you're Christian, then do you identify yourself as Christian? You say, well, I follow this guy that, you know, is the Redeemer of the world. But you don't make a commitment to who that is. Well, it's the same thing as the responsibility of every citizen being a part of the militia. You know, how is being a part of the militia, unorganized, unregulated, whatever you want to call it, how is that a bad thing? It's constitutional. It's something that cannot be denied. Oh yeah, they may have created bad connotation, but bottom line, I would rather be fighting over a title of being a militia member than I would a Committee of Safety. Because the Committees of Safety were disbanded. They were actually, not disbanded, they were converted into our county commissioners. They were converted into our state legislators. So, in other words, they were fully legitimized into and integrated into our existing government as our representatives in a representative government. And so the Committees of Safety went away. Anyway. When we come back, we'll dive into these property issues because I think these things are big and they're king. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.